Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. On today's program, Andrew interviews David Barton about the origins of Thanksgiving and America's godly heritage. And now here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing an interview with David Barton. I had him on all last week. He is the founder and the, I guess, president or leader of Wall Builders Ministry. And I tell you, it has been tremendous, the things that we've been talking about. We spent most of last week talking about the pilgrims. Of course, you know, this is our Thanksgiving week here in the U.S. If you're watching this program other places in the world, you may not have a day of Thanksgiving set aside by your government, but I tell you, every day ought to be a day that we thank God for the great things that He's done in our life. And I believe it's the most godly holiday that we have. But sad to say, there's a lot of things today that have been taught wrong, or we have not even been taught the true foundation of the pilgrims and what they went through. So basically, all last week was talking about the pilgrims, why they came here, how they established that Plymouth colony on the Word of God, and how that those things provided a foundation actually for this nation, the United States. And David, you've just done a great job sharing some of those things. And also, I was really encouraged with some of the positive things that we can do to make a difference today. So anyway, we've already given a lot of information about that. If you've missed last week's programs, I encourage you to please get these DVDs or CDs that we're offering entitled God and Country. There's a total of 4 weeks worth of interviews that I've done with David Barton, and it will give you just a wealth of information. Also, we have a website, David's website. I'm sure it's on the screen, and we're going to be offering you a lot of other things. But David, this week, I just want to get into talking about, we've established about the pilgrims, talked about maybe some Christian history and why they came here and what their motivation was, how the Geneva Bible was the foundation. We talked about socialism versus capitalism. We've covered a lot of things.
We have.
But now I guess we want to get into talking about Thanksgiving proper. What is the real godly heritage of Thanksgiving? What's the origins?
You go back, well, there's actually several Thanksgivings that happened in America before the pilgrims. You had one in 1619 at Berkeley Plantation, Virginia. You had a Thanksgiving actually happened in El Paso back in like 1542 down at St. Augustine, Florida. But there were just services. People would land, Cape Henry, Virginia, when they landed there, the Jamestown colony, they got off, had a Thanksgiving service, and it was kneel down, pray, thank God. But
yeah,
the
I've
pilgrims.
Seen that on the CBN.
That's right. They have that cross erected there at Cape Henry. That's right. Yep. And so there were several Thanksgiving services, but the pilgrims are the first Thanksgiving festival. The pilgrims incorporated Thanksgiving to God along with a meal, along with friends, along with athletic events. And so that 3-day festival kind of thing that went on is where we get what we really do this coming Thursday, when we're going to have football games on, we're going to have big meals, we're going to have, hopefully, we'll remember to thank God and not just do the other stuff.
Sadly,
because the key...
I think that's neglected.
That's the one that, you know, people are into the athletics and into the meals and festival and fun, but it was built around thanking God as well. And so that's what the pilgrims did. So when we look to this Thanksgiving that's coming up on Thursday, we really go back to the pilgrim model rather than the other model. And the pilgrims, they have gone through this really tough winter. We talked last week how that 102 came. After that winter, there's only 51 left.
So is the Thanksgiving after the very first winter that they survived?
It's after that first winter, and they're getting ready to go into the second winter. And as they're getting, it's 16, we're in that 1621 range now. And so 1620, they land in December. And their Thanksgiving is over in the fall of 1621. Mm-hmm. And as they come, they have great relations with the Indians. Indians have helped them immensely. They found an Indian among them that spoke English, which shocked them.
But how did that happen?
Quite frankly, it was very provident. We talked last week, this is the first ever American printing of all the records of the pilgrims. So their governor kept the records. But a guy named Squanto, they called him an instrument sent by God for our good. And so Squanto had actually some years earlier been kidnapped as a slave by some of those secular guys we talked about, not the biblical guys. Secular guys kidnapped him as a slave, took him to England. He learned to speak English in England, he came back to his tribe and they had all died as a result of a sickness and epidemic. So he's by himself. So he goes in with the tribe that the pilgrims later come with, Massasoit. I'll get it in a minute here. Yeah. But the Indian names, those guys, when the pilgrims came, they went and met the pilgrims. And this guy started speaking to them in English. And it's like,
wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a shock.
Oh, it was. And, you know, he brought help and brought friends from the other Indians. And they showed them all sorts of stuff. That if you're going to plant crops, you put a little piece of fish in there to act as fertilizer. And if you're going to fish, this is the kind of bait you use. And here's how you do your traps. And if you're hunting, this is what you... And so the pilgrims came with their guns and their arms. And they had been fishermen and others over in Holland, England, but not like here in America. Mm-hmm. So they had someone to teach them and guide them and get them. They went through their first winter, didn't have really any help, any guidance. And so it was a really, really tough time. It was a brutal time. They've lost half of their congregation. Everybody's lost family members of some kind, it seems. And so now they're coming into the fall, and they want to do something to thank God for having... I'm not sure how many Christians today would thank God after you've lost 51 people in your group.
You know, that's one of the things about Thanksgiving that really impresses me. Not only the original Thanksgiving, but this Thanksgiving proclamation. We got a little refrigerator magnet. And Lincoln made mention of the fact that even though we're embroiled in this domestic strife, and there had been unprecedented numbers of people die, he was talking about how we are so blessed.
Yep.
And if they can praise God through the first winter and through the Civil War and stuff like that, people today have a lot to be praising God for.
Let me touch something that's a parallel. We'll get to this later. We'll explain it later. But the pilgrims had that first Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that. The next year, it was really bad, and so they had a day of fasting, humiliation, prayer, seeking God's intervention. They needed God's help really bad. Abraham Lincoln gives that Thanksgiving proclamation, and he gives that at a point in the Civil War, 1863, and we'll talk about the history of how that came to be, but 1863, at that point in the Civil War, he's calling a national day of Thanksgiving. Why? They've had their ears, they've only won two battles in 3 years. The Confederates have pinned them at every turn. Mm-hmm. These guys are losers. The Union is big time, won two battles out of all the major battles. They only won two major battles. I think the Confederates won 14 battles in that time, something sort. And so a day of Thanksgiving? For what? Because it's the right thing to do, because it's the right attitude, because the Scripture says in everything, you don't give thanks for everything, you give thanks in everything. And even in the middle of that, he thanked God. Now, it's interesting. I mentioned that the pilgrims, I'm going to pull up some stuff here. The pilgrims had that day of fasting. That's the day of Thanksgiving that you mentioned from Lincoln. I want you to see the next year. This is original. This is from Abraham Lincoln. That's his day.
The original?
That's the original. That's Abraham Lincoln's.
How do you come by things like this?
It's a God deal.
It's a God deal.
It's a God deal.
Man, I would think that the original proclamation by Abraham Lincoln.
Now, his original handwritten one. This is the printed one.
Oh, okay.
So he did his handwritten one. This is the printed one, but this is the original, and this is Abraham Lincoln, and this is humiliation, fasting, and prayer. And this one right here, this is where he said, we've been blessed beyond belief, but we've forgotten God. I mean, there are so many good quotable lines in this one. And so this, after he delivered this day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, they only lost two battles the rest of the conflict. The entire tide turned. And so they go Thanksgiving to fasting, and they go from only winning two battles to only losing two battles for the rest of the war. And that is and I use Lincoln, but that's what the pilgrims did. So we'll get into that more. But you go back to the pilgrims, they're coming up to the fall time. They're getting ready to go into winter. Hopefully, you've got a lot of fish dried and set aside. Hopefully, you've got a lot of venison and turkey and others dried and set aside, because you're going to have something to keep you for six months without being able to do much hunting. And so they're getting ready to go into it, and they're so thankful to God that not all of them are dead. Only half of them are dead. You know, they're thankful that still half of them are alive. And they're thankful to God for Squanto, who showed them how to live in that land. And they're thankful for their Indian friends who helped them and befriended them. And they're thankful for all this. And so they want to invite their Indian friends to share this time with them. And so this three-day festival. Problem is, they don't have enough food for themselves at that point, much less the Indians. And so in the pilgrims' own journals, they record that they went out in faith to hunt, And in those 3 days before the festival, they saw more game than they'd ever seen. Suddenly they're shooting everything. They had been looking for weeks and couldn't find game. And now they make this commitment to have this Thanksgiving festival, and suddenly God seems to bring deer from everywhere, turkey from everywhere. They're catching fish like crazy. And it was, they'd gone out in faith looking for it.
Well, I've never heard that.
No. And they record that by bounty, all this miraculous bounty just appears before them. They're able to harvest. Because they didn't go into that harvest festival having enough for themselves, much less for the friends that they invited.
There's a great lesson in that, and that is that if we will praise God for what we have and begin and just make the commitment, He will provide.
He will provide.
To prosper us.
As He did with Abraham, you get a ram when you obey God, and that's what they did. So they had all this bounty. They brought in the venison, and they brought in the fish, and they brought in the other, and they had the fruits and the berries, and they had the squash and various things. And so they have this 3-day festival in which they thank God. They did this to thank God for His bounty, and He's provided bounty. Plus, they had enough now to go into the winter. They've got enough to carry them through. And they've got their Indian friends there, and so they have athletic events. They have wrestling matches with each other, and they do races with each other, and they do all these things with one another. And so the festival thing of big meals, the festival thing of athletics, the festival thing of thanking God, which is what we often leave out today, that's where it gets started, is in 1621. Hmm. That's the start of Thanksgiving.
So who won, the Indians or the pilgrims?
You know, we don't know the answer to that. That's a good. I'll bet you both sides won. And I'll bet that the Indians probably won more than the pilgrims did.
I would imagine they were in better
shape. I would imagine they're in a lot better shape. Living in that wilderness their whole life as they had, that's just not the same as outsiders.
So we've been told that this, you know, a lot of people now just present it as a harvest festival or something. I think public schools are getting away from using the term Thanksgiving and
yes.
into all of that, and they're just trying to totally secularize it. But it was really a celebration to thank God.
This is not a perfect analogy, but it's like having the Pope do a service and have it be totally secular. It ain't happening. That's not His nature. It's not the nature of the people who are spending hours a day in God's Word. It's not the nature of these people who use God's Word to create their civil government. It's not the nature of these people who use God's Word to create their education. It's not the nature of these people who use God's Word to create their economics. It's not their nature to have something secular that leaves God out of it. That's illogical. And we know that it's not true because, again, the Pilgrim's Records, that this is... And one of the interesting things, when we knew our history... We talked last week about how that God often uses history to launch revivals. Mm-hmm. One of the things I found really interesting was when I was looking back in the First Great Awakening. And the First Great Awakening is an American revival that goes from 1730 to 1770. The Second Great Awakening, there's some 1801 through about 1840, and then there's some after the Civil War. But you look at those revivals, First and Second Great Awakening. In the First Great Awakening, we know that George Whitfield was there, but you got Charles and John Wesley. You've got Gilbert Tennant. You've got Samuel Davies. You've got Jonathan Edwards. You've got Samuel Cooper, Jonathan Mayhew. You've got a lot of great preachers involved in that thing, really significant preachers in that awakening. Second Great Awakening, you got guys like Lorenzo Dowell and Charles Clay. And you got Charles Finney and all these famous guys in the Second Great Awakening. What was really interesting to me was in looking back over the sermons in that, and by the way, just as another thing, America would not exist as a nation had it not been for that First Great Awakening, had it not been for the Whitfields and all those. Whitfield preached a famous sermon called his Father Abraham sermon. John Adams wrote about it, told Jefferson about it. Amazingly, 80% of all Americans physically heard George Whitfield preach a sermon, physically heard that. And technology being what it was,
wow.
Horseback. That tells you the penetration he had with the gospel. He preached 18,000 sermons over 34 years, and 80% of all Americans physically heard him preach a sermon. So, but you look back at what they did, and they were into history, and they were into the pilgrims. They were talking about, look at our godly foundations. We have to come back to our godly foundations. And even in that revival, they were looking back to the pilgrims and back to history. In the Second Great Awakening, you have the same thing happen. Daniel Webster, John Quincy Adams are giving orations on the pilgrims and how the pilgrims laid the godly foundations in America. And if we're going to be a good nation, we have to come back to the godly foundations. Look how they applied the word. And I just find it amazing that when there's a revival going on in our nation, First and Second Great Awakening, we went back to the pilgrims. We went back to those godly roots and said, hey, look what we can learn here. Look how the Word of God applies to practical things in life. And that's just a great lesson for us today.
You know, going back to something we talked about last week is how that we've got to do something. We have to change our opinion, and then we have to influence other people. And we were saying that we need to start getting involved on a local level. So if people watching this program, if their kids are in a school where it's no longer Thanksgiving and it's harvest celebration and they take all mention of God away, and if Christmas is now the winter break instead of Christmas and stuff like that, what's a godly response? What would you suggest?
Let's push the envelope. We were talking as we ended last week about how the Christians have to go on the offensive. We cannot be on the defensive, and how that even the legal community were winning stuff like crazy. Now, this little thing right here that you're offering to everybody, they can go to the website and buy this little tract. And it's the history of Thanksgiving in America, and it's really religious. It has all the religious content in the proclamations. It talks about how George Washington did this and Thomas Jefferson, all these others. And so what kids can do is they can go to their school and give one of these to every one of their classmates. Get one of these, give them to the classmates. Now, when the school principal comes and says, you can't do that, then the parents are going to say, no, I'm going to call Liberty Council, Liberty Institute. I'm going to call for the American Center for Law and Justice. Then go to our website. There's seven legal groups there that will defend them for free, and they will win these cases.
That's awesome.
So that's the simple thing to do is let's push the envelope a little bit. Let's kind of prod them. Let's give one of these to every kid in our classroom. And then when the principal and the teacher says, you can't do that, take those up right now, you call one of these attorney groups that will defend you for free and will win the case, and you get God back in schools through Thanksgiving. And that's an easy way to do it.
That's great. Man, that would be awesome if we could get... I wished we'd have done this last week so they'd had time to have gotten these and
pass
them out.
That's true. Well, do it for next year. We'll get
that. That's right. You can certainly do it for next year.
Do it for next year.
And also, you call in, we'll send these things to you as our gift. So, man, the Christian influence on Thanksgiving is undeniable, and yet today people are in denial about it, and it's just not the historical record at all.
No, and these things, this is called the New England Memorial. This is online. People ought to go read the First Thanksgiving online. One of the things you ought to do on Thursday is watch the football games. That's fine. I guess there's three football games Thursday. Have all the turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie and whatever you're going to have. That's fine. But you take time to have time set aside to worship God. And while you're at it, just have somebody pull up online the account of the First Thanksgiving. Read that to your family.
Now, how do you get that online?
Now, this is called the New England. And by the way, I was talking earlier about how that in that revival time, we were looking back. I did not even know this was in here. Now, this is the first printing of the Pilgrim Records of America, 1669. This is printed. I opened it up before the program, and I saw this in here, and I said, what in the world is this? And I pulled this out, and this is a newspaper of the day, but it is sewn on the back here. And what they did was they took the newspaper as a cover, and it's this little journal that they've got written in here. It's all handwritten in here, this journal. And it says up top, this is the members of the Church of Christ in Essex, Massachusetts, which was formed October the 25th, 1797. And it lists all the founding members of the church. And it goes through year by year and lists all the female members and all the male members. And I find it interesting that the founding of a church they had right here in the front of the Pilgrim Records, that they were studying these records, and that was part of why the church existed, was look how we started. And see, this is so biblical. So what happens is on Google Books, on a number of book sites, and on our website, we link you to book sites. If you'll go to Google Books and type in New England Memorial, it'll bring up this entire book. All the pages have been scanned. You can look at every page. Go to 1621. And in 1621, you'll find the records of the First Thanksgiving. There's also online, and we have it at our website as well, one of the elders in the Pilgrim Church, a guy named Edward Winslow, wrote a letter back to England saying, guess what we just did? And he describes the Pilgrim Thanksgiving. So between this book and between that letter from elder that was in the church, Winslow going back, we know what happened that Thanksgiving. And that's fun stuff to remember on Thanksgiving Day.
And I'd like to read that.
Go to Google Books.
All right.
And at Google Books, you're looking for this book called The New England Memorial. right there.
New England Memorial.
New England Memorial.
And then 1621, you'd go to those records. And
16,
the,
these are chronological in here, 1621. But even in our website, if you just search for Thanksgiving, we have some of those early proclamations up, and we link to a bunch of this stuff as well. So this is New England Memorial, and that's the early records of the pilgrims, and it goes year by year by year through here. And it's fun just to read the whole book.
And so any school that would just take Thanksgiving and make it about a harvest festival or anything like that is misrepresenting history.
And by the way, we saw last year that they were not even letting the kids dress up as pilgrims because that's a religious group. And
oh,
so
really?
You were not even allowed to dress up as pilgrims.
And so that is totally against our history. It's revisionist. And if they were to do what you said and take these tracts and give them out or do something like that.
And even if they don't get the tracts, if your school says, oh, you can't mention God at Thanksgiving, or your school says something like, oh, you can't dress up like a pilgrim, you call one of those legal groups and you say, here's what my school's saying, and that legal group will be happy to say, we'll give them a letter. We'll show them they can't do that.
I think that most Christians aren't aware that they could be represented like this, or they think it's going to cost them an arm and a leg.
For free. These guys, it's a ministry. These guys raise money to be able to defend Christian beliefs in public, and they are, as we talked about on Friday, they win over 99% of their cases. You know, so it's no risk to the parents. And this is a good way push back the culture.
So we don't have much time left today, but let me just ask you, and we'll set this up for tomorrow, why is Thanksgiving and what the pilgrims did important to us?
Because it teaches us to remember to put God first. In the book of Micah, we're told because they did not remember God. We're told in Romans 1:28, because they did not like to retain God in their consciousness. This helps us remember to put God first, not as individuals, but as a nation.
As a nation.
As a nation, and that's really significant.
And I think this is where a lot of Christians miss it. Personally, they are fanatical and they're committed to God and in their personal life, but when it comes to a public setting, they just feel like that you cannot do this.
We'll cover this tomorrow. This is the first federal Thanksgiving proclamation. George Washington right there, that's the original. He'll tell you why we do Thanksgiving as a nation, and that's good
awesome.
Stuff.
Man, that'll be great. So let me remind you again that we do have DVDs and CDs of this interview with David Barton, and actually this is going to be a two-week set of interviews on our television program. This is our second week, but I did 2 weeks with David 4 years ago, and so we have put out this God and Country, which is actually 4 weeks of interview with David Barton. You can get it on DVD that was taken directly from these television broadcasts. You can also get it in CD if you would like to just listen to it. And then this track that David talked about, you can either go to his website, or we're offering this as a free gift to you. If you'll call in to us, we will send this to you as our gift. And also another free gift from us is this little refrigerator magnet that is Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation. And I have one of these on my refrigerator, and I have read this for years, so that I am very familiar with this. And I tell you, it just is a great reminder about God being in our nation, and that all of these things we're hearing today are not accurate. So anyway, we have all of these things available, and I believe it would be a real blessing to you. So tomorrow we're going to get into some great things. Man, this is awesome. I'm aware that Thanksgiving was observed by Washington in a number of times, mm-hmm. but I think Lincoln is the first one that made it a national holiday, wasn't it?
He's the first one that made it an annual observance. It had been off and on. Some presidents did, some didn't. After Lincoln, it was an annual observance.
So anyway, remember all of these materials that we're offering. We've got the number on your screen. I encourage you to call or write today and request these materials, and then join us again tomorrow as I continue this interview with David Barton. This is another update on our construction here at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park. And today I am blessed to have my granddaughter, Renan, with me. She's 11 years old. Say hi, Renan.
Hello.
I wanted to give you an update on what's happening with this building. I want to thank those of you who've been partners with us. As I've said nearly every single time, this isn't about the buildings. It's about changing people's lives. Elijah told this widow, says, get vessels, not a few, and I will fill them. We are preparing to bring in thousands of people, empty vessels, and God is going to fill them with His power and His anointing, and it's going to change the world. And this was a $32 million project, and we are less than $1.6 million away from having it done debt-free. That is a praise the Lord. So it's a testimony to the faithfulness of God. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't been a part of this, to consider being a part of it. Those of you who've given so faithfully, thank you so much. Together, we are going to make a difference, and I believe that my granddaughter's world will be impacted because of what's done right here in this building. God bless you.
Today's program is part of a two-week series in which Andrew and David Barton discuss the origins of Thanksgiving and America's godly heritage. These 2 weeks of programming have been added to a previous two-week series with Andrew and David titled God and Country. All 4 weeks are available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching.
You know, these interviews with David Barton has been powerful, and we were talking about this little track that he has entitled Thanksgiving in America would be a great thing to get and have your children pass this out at school. It's just a little tiny track, but it is full of godly instances, and I mean documented instances of our nation being founded on a Christian principle, Thanksgiving being about God. And I tell you, this is a way to counter this ungodliness that is going forth. So we're giving this as a free gift to you. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information. And then please join us again next week as we talk about our Thanksgiving holiday and how it's has roots in godly, true Christianity.
If you'd like to receive the Thanksgiving Proclamation Magnet along with David Barton's track titled Thanksgiving in America, visit our website at awmi.net and click on today's TV offer. This offer is limited to one per household while supplies last. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Lessons from Elijah for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.